get started real simply. It's 10:45 on a Tuesday. The calendar day is February 19th, 2013. On this tape, you'll hear the stories of Joan Del Porto and occasionally the voice of myself, Keith Sweet. We are taping this interview at the Del Porto Ranch in Jackson. Joan, thank you for participating in the Ambler County Living History Project. We appreciate your willingness to preserve our county's history by sharing memories. This conversation is being tape recorded, and the tapes will be made available to the public without charge. If you share something during the next hour or so that you regret saying on tape, we will make every effort to remove it before publication. So.
Okay.
You ready to talk?
Yes, I'm ready to talk. I don't know how much I'm going to be saying, but
you know,
anyway.
this is a beautiful setting here. Right now, it's pouring down rain outside, but it's a ranch outside of Jackson. And as I sit here, getting ready to talk to you, I'm looking out the window with a lot of sheep in the background. Tell me a little bit about the ranch. How long has it been here in your family? And
We purchased the ranch in 1955, and we've been living here ever since. And then my husband and myself and our two daughters.
So you obviously are not actively doing the ranch. So ranching, so is.
I have never actively done the ranching because I was busy doing the housework and keeping that going. I really don't. I have never gone out and worked with the goats or the sheep. My daughters are experts at it, and they're running the ranch now. My youngest daughter is running it, and it gets quite a bit of assistance from her older sister. And so my husband, of course, when he was alive, he did a lot, he worked before. He went to work in the morning, and he went up and took care of chores, and when he came home, he took care of chores, and that's also did the ranch work on the weekends. So
what did your husband do besides ranch?
When we were married, he was worked at the Motherlode Market as a butcher. He had three butchers there at that time, working full time. They went to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, didn't get through until 6 o'clock at night. And that was when PG&E was doing a lot of construction work. So, you know, you've seen the Motherlode Market. It's not a very big store.
Right.
Three butchers going from 7 in the morning to 6 at night every day, including Saturday. So you know how active it was here at that point in time.
Now this is do you have any idea what the population might have been?
I have no idea.
What time frame are we talking about?
Let's see. We were married in. That's a good one. You better turn the machine.
No, we'll take these out.
When did it? I'm trying. It was right after the war. Let's see, he'd come back from Europe, and he was working down there, and I can't think of it. I can't think of 1940-something.
Well, we'll come back to that. Now, were you born in Amador County?
No, I was born in Michigan.
In Michigan? Where in Michigan?
In the Upper Peninsula.
Okay. Well, just as an aside, I was born in Mackinac Island.
Oh, that's down further, though.
No, that's an island between in the Straits of Mackinac, between Upper Michigan and Lower Michigan.
Oh, no, we were born clear up. I was born in Ironwood, by the 20 miles from Lake Superior.
So when did you come to California?
During the Depression, 1933.
How old were you then?
Well, I was born in 1923, so I had to be 10 years old.
Okay.
I was going into the third grade, I think. Anyway, the iron mines had closed down, and that's where my father worked. So, and he didn't have any work, you know, no work. So, my aunt and uncle lived out here in Jackson, and he said that there was a job for my father in a slaughterhouse. And the day they sold everything that they had there in Michigan, and we were all in the car ready to drive out here. Well, I guess it was a Saturday morning, I'm not sure. And a telegram came, said that the job was...
No job.
There was no job. My father said, we're going anyway. We took off. So I'm pretty sure it was 1933. Well, anyway.
I think that's what you told me when I was talking to you on the phone.
I think so.
So what was your maiden name?
Penrose.
P-E-N-R-O-S-E?
Mm-hmm. Cornish.
And your father's name?
Alfred.
And your mother's name?
Elizabeth.
So they moved out, they came to Jackson because your aunt and uncle were here, and their names were?
Goodman.
His name?
His first name, Alfred Goodman, and Margaret Goodman.
Okay, and where did they live here in Jackson? Do you recall?
Out in South Jackson, just about across from where Fuller Lane is now.
Okay, so not very far from here, really.
No, uh-uh.
So he came out and without a job and ended up working as a butcher then? Is that first job?
No, that job didn't exist by the time when we were leaving the job. My uncle was a butcher, and I think and he worked at the Motherlode Market. And I think they were going to get this slaughterhouse thing, and that fell through. So my father came out and he got he was a miner, so he got a job at I think he worked at the Kennedy, and then I don't know if he worked at, and he worked at the Argonaut too.
Did he go down in the mine or was he?
Oh, yeah, he went down in the mine. Yes. And we lived up on Kennedy Flat for a couple of years, and then we moved out on a ranch on Butte Mountain Road, and we worked it, and my mother, it was an old house, and my mother was out there trying to make it habitable, which she did. She was a neat freak. And let's see, what do I start out to say now?
They moved out to the ranch.
Yeah, we moved out to ranch, and I think about the first week or the first weekend or the second weekend that we were there, my father went to buy some livestock, and he bought four fresh cows.
Fresh cows?
Fresh.
So tell me what a fresh cow is.
One that had just had a calf.
Okay.
Or was in milk.
Right.
And I don't think he brought the calves home, although he could have. Anyway, you know, when they have a dairy or something down below, they don't necessarily keep all the calves, or they don't keep them on the mothers because they want the milk. So they'll feed them out some other way. So maybe have some nurse cows or on the bottle. I don't know. But anyway, we bought home these four fresh cows. And what were you going to do with all that milk, you know? So he started to ask the guys when he went to work if they'd like it, if he brought them some milk in the mornings, you know. And, they'd pay for it. And first thing you know, we were delivering milk in town. And, actually, we didn't even have a truck. We used to put the milk in the back seat and get out and deliver it from there. And there were three of us girls. One of my oldest sister was driving the car, and one of the other of us, the younger ones, would get out and bring the milk to the people and pick up the empty bottles and all that stuff. And
so you delivered it in bottles and not in a big milk can?
Oh, no. It was all milk bottles and with a cardboard cap on it and the whole thing, you know. And They built a barn on this rented property, and the barn is still there. It had one side was to milk the cows, and the other side was all set up for really good processing of the milk. It was raw market milk.
Right.
So we delivered milk in town for years. Shucks.
When about to buy some cattle, came back with, became a dairy farmer.
That's right. He quit the, he was working in the, what they call the bad air shaft at the Argonaut Mine when he left there. And he decided that he thought they better just stay home and do the dairy, because we had quite a few customers by that time. Of course, people don't buy raw market milk anymore, mm-hmm. but I mean, that milk was clean as, I mean, it was not in any way contaminated.
How many cows did you have at any one time?
I have no idea. We used to go out and get the cows and bring them in and stuff, but I never went to the barn. I never milked. I wouldn't know how to milk a cow. My life depended on it.
So was dairy farming the only thing then that your father was doing at that particular time after he left the mine?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how long did he do that then?
I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. And then he bought the... we were renting all that time, and then he bought the ranch right across the road, which is still in the family. My nephew owns it now. And anyway,
you and your sisters, your sisters' names are?
Evelyn Cuneo and Margaret Bassett. They both live out at Clinton Road and Butte Mountain Road. None of us have gotten very far. And my brother, when he bought property up on New York Ranch, Climax Road, and he worked different jobs. When we came out here, he was 16 years old. He'd already graduated from high school at 16, and he went to work in purity stores. In the purity store, it was downtown Jackson, where I don't know what they have in there now. And he never did work on the ranch, except if it was something to be done, like building or some carpenter work or something like that. He wasn't involved in the milk business.
Now, did your brother go into the service during the war?
Yeah, he was in the Coast Guard, okay. And later he went to work for the Caltrans. And when he retired, he was working for Caltrans up in Pine Grove or up that way.
And then your husband was in the service also.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Was he in the Army or the?
He was in the Army. He was in Italy and North Africa and Italy.
So when he came back, that's when he went to work in downtown Jackson.
As a meat cutter.
As a meat cutter.
Well, he hadn't done that before. I mean, he didn't do that before he went in the service. He'd gone to Davis for a couple of years. And I think he majored in dairy or something like that. Anyway, he was born and raised in Jackson right there on Sutter Street. Didn't have any cows. He liked to work. He liked ranch stuff, though. He'd go to help out and with different people that had ranches. He enjoyed that. So he worked for California Department of Forestry.
Do you know when the first Del Porto came to Amador County?
I have no idea. My mother-in-law. I think she was born in Sierra County, and her mother was Italian, And she was, I think she, whether she came from Switzerland or whether she's part Swiss Italian or something, whatever, there was something Swiss that's upset about. But that was Grandma Turner. And they came to Amador County years ago, years before, you know, that. And I'm not too familiar with that. I mean, at the time, I haven't kept my memory refreshed on
all
it.
Right.
Anyway, my mother-in-law was married to, trying to think, Norman's father's first name. Well, anyway, the Del Portos had a boarding house on Main Street, right? If you're going out Main Street, it's just the start of North Main, where you go up the road to the grammar school there.
Right, right.
Well, there was a hotel there.
That's a California hotel.
Yeah, California hotel. And the Del Portos at some point in time had that. Now, whether they established it or not, I don't know. Anyway, they Londa Tuffinelli, you know who I'm talking about?
I don't know, but I've heard the name. They were the ones that they bought that hotel?
They worked in it or something. I can't think of Londa's last name now. And she's married, and I just don't know it.
I think it was Teresa and Giuseppe.
Teresa and Giuseppe Del Porto.
Del Porto that built the hotel. Right.
And when, what was Norman's father's name? Anyway, his father was a small child when they came from Italy. So he was pretty well raised there. It wasn't Narciso. Maybe it was. He was pretty well raised in the United States and in Jackson and that. And my mother-in-law was, she lived on Sutter Street down the bottom part of Sutter Street by farm kitchen store used to be. Okay, so she there. Anyway, they got married. And I don't know what year they got married. Norman was born in 1918. So that's, and of course, my mother-in-law, he died. Norman's father died because of pneumonia, I believe, because I guess he got, there was typhoid fever. He was working as a carpenter at one of the mines. And the water was contaminated, and they drank, the guys that were working there were drinking that water. I don't know if it was in the creek or where it was, and he got typhoid fever, and he died. And that's the way I remember her, Esther telling me anyway.
Sure. Do you know if there were a lot of people who
I know there were some people. She mentioned different people that were sick of it, but I couldn't tell you that. I don't know.
What were some of the stories that your father used to tell about being in the mine?
He didn't ever say anything. I mean, in the mines, the gold mines are hot. They work it down, and it's very hot down there.
Right.
And they put in their shift, and that was it. He used to work in the mines in Michigan. But when he came, he was born and raised in Cornwall, England. As what my mother was also.
Do you remember what kind of car they drove when they drove out here?
Plymouth. It was brand new that year.
They had a new car and no job.
Everything was fine before the Depression.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we were kids, so we didn't really, I mean, we had food and we had this and that, but you sure didn't have any fancy stuff or anything like that, because there just wasn't that money. People didn't have the money that they had before the Depression, you know, the cash to spend that right. they had before the Depression.
But your father was employed the whole time, though, during the Depression. He wasn't out of work for any long period of time.
No, he wasn't out of work for any long period of time, but, you know, they worked all, well, of course, naturally, things aren't the same as they were, are they are now. I think he made $3.25 a day. I think that was what it was.
It probably was. Probably
yeah.
was. So you came out here, you were 10 years old. What school did
Nine
you,
or 10.
What school did you go to?
I went to Aetna School.
Aetna School?
Mm-hmm. You know where that it was?
I do not.
It's on Middle Bar Road. It was on Middle. You know where Middle Bar Road is?
Yes.
Okay. You just go, there's a couple of houses right up at the top up there. It's right down below there, and if you're going down towards the river, it's on the left-hand side.
So is the building still there?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, the next time I go down, maybe I'll take a look. That was called Aetna School, so that would have been in the Aetna School District, because there were a lot of little small
well,
school
the,
districts
it was
around.
The, it was the only school in that district, because I'm sure it wasn't in the Jackson District. And they had 8 grades in one room and one teacher.
And you remember the teacher's name when you came out?
Oh, yeah. Her name was Clara Bacich. And the Bachiches lived down the road from here. And then she was married, well, one, not until I got out of school sometime. She married Tony Doda. And that they lived up here on Cipriano Road.
Okay. So you went in, you were in the third grade, so you went through grade 8 in that school, or did
oh yes, up through grade 8, graduated there, went to Jackson High School, graduated from there in 1941.
How many students? Do you remember how many students were in the Aetna School in those 8 grades?
Oh, I couldn't. I think she had. Now this is a guess that kind of sticks in my mind, but I'm not saying it's true because you know, memory is one thing and truth is another. I think there were close to 30 at one time. And we all learned. And when I was through with my work, I had to go and pull it. I had to. I didn't want to sit there with twiddling my thumbs anyway. Go and we would go and get the young kids' papers that they'd turn in that day and correct them. So also, we went over and gave the younger kids their spelling. And so they had already had a chance to spell it, to learn it, and we went over there so they could write it down and for the day to see if they actually knew it. So anyway.
Well, I was a teacher for some period of time, and I talked to a teacher who had been in a one-room schoolhouse, and she said it was very difficult because when you were teaching the fourth grade while the third graders were here, when the third graders next year, when they became fourth graders, they'd actually heard all that already.
Oh, sure.
You had to keep ahead of them. Constantly
rehashed. Actually, I think it's a good way to learn. When you're in the third grade, you can hear the fourth graders. And when you're in the fourth grade, you're fifth grade.
Sure.
I knew exactly what to expect when I got to be in the eighth grade. So.
Knew the answers already.
Not quite, but anyway.
So how many were in your graduating class in Jackson High School?
I don't know. I've got this. I'd have to go up in the attic and get the book. I can't remember. It didn't make any difference. The ones that came from the Jackson School and Aetna School, and I think that was the only two. Anyway.
Wasn't there a schoolhouse out here on Clinton?
That's Milligan.
That was Milligan, okay.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, I'll tell you, you probably heard the name. Let's see, Gino Ricci, Ricky. He was
right.
A barber downtown. He was in our class.
Gino, yeah.
Jim Boozy, Dr. Boozy.
Right.
He's in my class. Bert Smallfield.
Right.
He was in my class. Roy McGann.
Don't know that name, but.
Oh, he was the welder.
Okay.
And his father was a welder, and Roy was a welder, and McGann's welding. Anyway, he passed away. So, of course, Jim Boozy is still alive. Gino died, and Bert died. And that's the guys. Marita Lee Solagin, you know her?
I do.
And
yes.
She was in our class. She, whatever the same. Nella Burge, she's in the class in high school. But she came from Milligan School. I don't know. I can't think of anybody else here now. We, our class tries to have a reunion every year. The 1941 class of 1941 from Jackson High School. And some years they've gotten to the point they're pretty scattered out and they can't come unless their kids bring them. And
right.
So it isn't, of course there's not that many of us left anyway. There are only 20 something in our class, I think. Anyway, to begin with. So.
Do you remember some of the activities that you did in high school?
No, I don't know. I didn't participate in anything that was. I can't remember things that, except for going to school and doing what you're supposed to do at school. I can't recall anything else. We delivered milk morning and night, and so in the evenings after we had dinner and what have you, we got in the car or the truck, whatever it was, and delivered milk. So I don't think I missed anything, but I didn't have those things to do.
So you delivered milk after school, and you also delivered milk before school?
Well, sometimes we would, before school, we'd help out. And we always got, I would get to school, when I was a senior, I remember I'd come in the door and I would be late. I'd have helped out before I got to school. And the Mr. McKay, who was the principal, he would take me down to my first class, which was history, I think, U.S. history, and he didn't have to do that, and he would open the door and, you know, let my teacher know that it was all right. It was almost every morning. Anyway.
How did you get to school?
In the car, the truck, one or the other. You know, by this time, we didn't get to take the car, bring the car on our own. I mean, because it was being used, or the truck was being used
right.
to deliver milk and what have you. It was, you know, everybody, you have to adjust.
Were students, kids being brought to school on a school bus, or did everybody have to find their own way to school at that time?
I think they went to school, they had a school bus. Well, Brandon Hardig ran the school bus. The school didn't at that time. And they think it was mostly grammar school kids. I actually come to think that when I start thinking about it, some of the kids that lived outside of town and had to go for a distance, they would submit their parents would submit a bill to the district every year, every month, how many miles they'd driven, and they would get paid a small monetary sum for whatever.
So instead of the school district having the bus, they just paid the parents or something to drive.
If they came from a distance, I don't know anything too much about that.
So you weren't involved in drama or
no. Nope. No.
Future farmers or whatever.
They didn't have those. They didn't have future farmers. They did. I think some. It seems to me that once in a while somebody put a play on, but no. Mm-mm.
So after school activities weren't.
No. Well, they. Well, if you were playing a ball game or something, they stayed for a ball game. But after you got through school, you went home. I did.
Did you work at all during high school?
No, outside of the, no. The months I got out of high school, I got a job.
Where was that?
I went to work for a lawyer. He was brand new in town, so he farmed me out to the, I'd go to work for him in the morning, and he, like I said, he was brand new. He didn't stay very long either, because then by this time it was the war had started, and he went to San Francisco, and he got a job. He got a job at a law firm down there, and I guess he became. It was a big law firm. By the time it all ended up, anyway, he was nice.
What was his name?
Albert Brown.
Albert Bell.
Brown.
Brown.
Yeah, we didn't keep in touch, but anyway. He was working for this big law firm. And so he sent me, they needed a girl at the Retail Credit Association, which they had, but they also had a collection agency in there. So I was working in the collection agency. And then...
This is a collection agency that collected overdue or debts Amador County?
Yeah, or any place else that they... So the people had been in Amador County and incurred them. And so, anyway, all I did all day was send out these letters. And it was a job. I got paid. So, I'm not complaining. It wouldn't be what I would like to go and do right now. And then every day I walked past this fellow that had something to do with the Chamber of Commerce. But he also had something to do with the draft board. Now, I'm not sure just exactly what that was. But the gal that was working in the draft board was married, and her husband was in Sacramento, and she decided she was going to move to Sacramento, so she was leaving. And I was just, I don't think it was a whole year out of high school, and I was working on the draft board, and I was the only clerk up there.
So how did the draft board work back then? People, men came in and signed up before they were 18 or when they turned 18?
Well, whatever the age was at that time, I'm not sure if it was 18 or 21, but because I can't remember that. They had three members of the draft board. They met once a week and classified or reclassified the girls. I did get an assistant clerk. And we had to record what the classification was, and we had to send a notice to them that they're about their classification. And when the state sent a deal in, sent every local board how many men. They were going to have to deliver to the whatever. They sent them to. I can't remember now. It was down on the coast, I think, someplace, for their examinations and all. Well, first we'd have to send them to a local doctor. They'd have to take a blood test and all that there, and then if they passed that, then they were. Sit down to be at a deal to be examined and to find out if they were well enough to be inducted. And then they'd come back, and then when it came that you got a call, they'd say that you're supposed to have so many men at this wherever the induction center was at that time, you're on a certain date. And then they'd always get a card to say what their classification was, if it had changed or anything. And then they'd get to the courthouse where the draft board was on the date that they were told to report for induction, and we'd make sure that they had buses there to take them wherever they were supposed to go.
So you had to do all the travel arrangements and everything too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you'd been busy. I mean, every time you turned around, you had to send out the notices and make sure that that was done. And because if they weren't, it was a very responsible job for somebody who was probably 19 years old. Very responsible.
Now, this was just a draft board for just
Amador County.
Not Amador and Calaveras, just
Amador. No, Amador. And they had, something went through my mind. Now I can't think of it. But anyway, it was a hard job. You couldn't make if you couldn't race anything after you sent somebody down and they were inducted.
Right.
If there was, you had to make sure everything was right. And then there were three people on the draft board. One of them was Ralph McGee, who later he was an attorney at that time. He became Superior Court Judge. Wallace Jones, who was the office manager at PG&E. And Arthur Clifton, who worked at the Preston School of Industry in Ion. And those were the original ones that I worked for.
And then a man got his draft notice, or not his draft notice, but his classification, then could he come in and appeal that try to get it changed?
Yeah, I'm sure they can.
I just got married or I have three children.
Oh, yeah, if they had to come in and report that stuff if they wanted it to be known. If they wanted to change their classification, they had to, if you were 1A and then you had kids, well, maybe they had another, I'm sure they had another classification if you were married, but if all of a sudden you had kids or something, you got to be a 3 something or another. That's how many years ago?
That's a long time ago. Yeah, so it sounds like it was just yesterday that you remember it. So.
Well, yeah, I worked there quite a while. I probably spent 3 years there, I guess. I don't know.
Were there any kind of ceremonies or city gatherings or anything when groups of men went off or was just other than a family party?
I don't know if anybody had their separate parties. No, they didn't have. It was war.
Right.
They didn't have a bunch. Nobody. Maybe somebody was going to be inducted, or they got their classification, or they got their notice to report for induction. Maybe their friends would have a going away party for them or something, but you never knew if they were going to actually be taken in. Once there was a time when they sent them down, they had their blood tested and different things, make sure their heart was beating. Well, a local doctor. There were a couple of local doctors that did that work, and they didn't get paid for it or anything like that. And they had passed that, but then when they got to the induction center and they went over them with a fine, well, at least gave them a good examination, some of them didn't make it. And they'd come back. So I don't know what we started out with then, but anyway, just if you hadn't been down and been examined by the doctors that the Army or whatever had, the government had, well, you weren't sure yet whether or not you'd be drafted when you went down.
Right. How many people at a time did, and how often were men drafted from Amador County? Was it kind of a routine? Or
no, it wasn't. One day you'd get a notice that you had to deliver so many men in such a date, and maybe it would be a small group, and maybe it'd be bigger. But I couldn't tell you exactly. But it wasn't anything set. It wasn't like on the third day of every month you were going to have to have a group ready to go.
Right.
You just, when it was time to reclassify them or something else, then it was done. And when you looked in the book and this guy's 1A, this guy's 1A, that's where you picked from. You're not picking, you're just getting them. And right. Then you get the lower numbers first. Everybody had a number. But that was years ago.
Do you remember at all how Amador County or Jackson or life in Amador County or Jackson changed during the war years from what it was before?
No, there was, the guys were gone.
Was that noticeable that there were a lot of people?
I don't know, I was too busy. I was still living on the dairy and everything. I mean, no, the guys weren't there. Whether it was, I guess it had to be noticeable. your friends, they're gone. They're overseas.
You didn't notice there were fewer men to choose from?
No, everybody was busy. No.
What did you do after the draft board?
I went to work for Ralph McGee, who was an attorney, who was also on the draft board. And then he became a Superior Court judge. So he said, and I was still in his office, of course, but I didn't have that much to do. And one day he came back from the courthouse and he said, "You're going to go up and work for Gard Chisholm in the district attorney's office." The district attorney only had one girl in his office at that time, because something happened. The girl he was working for, she left or something, I don't know. So Gard didn't have a secretary, or wasn't going to have one. So I went to work for him.
And where was his office located?
In the courthouse.
And where was the courthouse then?
The big courthouse.
The big courthouse.
White one, yeah.
Okay.
And the office, when you went up the front steps, it was the first office to the right.
And how long did you work at the district attorney's office?
I'm thinking. I worked there until I had my first child. I don't know what year the first child. I know what year she was born, but I don't know how when I started to work at the DA's office. And after that, when I wasn't working anymore, and I had a family, and wasn't working anymore, and we were living here on the ranch, Mrs. Chisholm called me up one day, and he was still I think he was still a DA. Called up and asked me if I'd come in and help them out for a month in their office, in their regular office. Because he was DA and he also had his private practice. That's what they love it. It worked out fine in those days.
Right.
And that was in 1955. And I was still there. It was a month, the longest month on earth. Anyway, when Mike Chisholm passed away, I guess, and I don't remember what year that was, I was there for years. All I did was probate work.
What do you remember most about downtown Jackson that has changed from when you were growing up to, say, today?
There are probably fewer saloons. I don't know. You get used to things, you don't even pay any attention to it. Today this is here, and then tomorrow it's gone, you know?
Was downtown Jackson, its nightlife and so forth, part of your family's routine? Or?
No. We're too busy working. No, the nightlife, my father may have had a can of beer once, an occasional, and I mean, when I say occasional, I mean, it might be two months that, they didn't drink or anything. So there was, if you go downtown Jackson, and usually they end up in a bar, that didn't happen.
You lived in Jackson. What relationship?
I lived in Jackson when I got married.
Right.
I always lived outside of Jackson before that. Okay.
Let's say living on the ranch here. How much? What relationship do ranchers here have with ranchers in Sutter Creek or ranchers in Plymouth or ranchers in Ione?
Oh, the Farm Bureau and that sort of thing. But otherwise, I mean, everybody's got their own ranch. There are not too many of them have sheep. Like Frank Del Porto over in Plymouth, he's got sheep. as far as if we had to call up Frank and ask him, because my daughters don't know exactly what to do with a sheep or something, they would, but they've never had to. So
most of the time, ranchers got together at the Farm Bureau or something like that, an annual event or something, but not unless they happened to know somebody needed some help.
If somebody needed help, of course, anybody would go and help. My father, who had a dairy, he was there are different people that had cows. We didn't have a veterinarian in the county until Ralph Milanovich got out of Davis, and I don't know what year that was. But even after Ralph Milanovich got out, they'd call my father. Different people had cows around, and he'd go out there and see what was with the cow and do what he could. And if he couldn't do anything, he'd tell me, but they better go get a veterinarian up there. And you could get a veterinarian out of the valley, but we didn't have any here until Ralph Milanovich got out of Davis.
So what are some of the family names that surround your ranch out here where we are at the moment that have been here for a long, long time?
Dodas are up there, but they don't. There's nobody Doda living here anymore. Cuneos are it.
Cuneo, Fragulia Ranch
and Fragulia's. And Carolyn Fragulia's the last one. Evelyn Cuneo is my sister. And let's see. And of course, Jimmy just died last year. But anyway, that's about it. Vila's, they still have a ranch down the road.
Okay.
And Batchich's down the road. That's about it.
Those that are still here, are there some old time family names that used to have ranches out here that are no longer out here?
I can't think of them. Pojos are still. I don't think Pojos have any animals or anything. But anyway, Gary Pojo. One of the Pojos lives in the Pojo Ranch. I think that's Gary. And I shouldn't be guessing. But anyway, Pojos have and Vilas, they still have cattle or a few. And Harry lives on the ranch, and Bob lives across the road. And then Batchich's. Martinez, but they don't have any animals anymore. They don't have any ranching going on there. I think they rented, I don't know if anybody runs stuff on there or not.
Now, sheep ranching, is that, are you the only one out here that in Jackson that does sheep ranching, or?
I don't know. The Cuneos just have sheep and goats. I think they still have some left. But Jim Cuneo, who's my sister's son, he passed away last year. And whether or not, I mean, I think they're kind of phasing out on the sheep and goats. That's what I think. I'm not sure.
Right. Well, I'm just kind of curious as to whether there were really large sheep herds.
Not around here. Mostly
cattle.
Yeah. We had a couple of cows once in a while. We had, that's not, just didn't, I don't know, when we got the first, I can't remember how my husband had, somebody was selling the sheep out. And I remember they got them out, brought them up here. So one of the Cuneos helped bring them in. Actually packed them up there, and they were strong. And I don't know. I guess because this was fenced for sheep or whatever, or goats, it just seemed might as well have sheep or goats. I don't know. That was up to my husband. I didn't ever get involved with the livestock. I had housework to do.
Now, has flooding ever been an issue on any part of the ranch here?
No, we've never had any.
Because the creek's down below.
Yeah.
The thought I heard somebody driving in.
No, there's a bell. There's a bell that'll ring in here if anybody drives in.
When you were raising your family here in Jackson,
right here, they were raised down
raised
here.
Right here.
Yeah, well, a couple of years of their life were downtown, but that's it.
So they all went to Jackson Elementary School?
No, the Milligan.
Milligan Elementary.
Mm-hmm. They were in the Jackson District, but we preferred to have them go to a one-room school.
Okay. So where was the Milligan School?
It's still where it is now.
Okay.
Have you ever been up the road?
Up the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
My sister owns it now.
Oh.
It was always on their land. So.
So did all of your children go to that school?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when that school closed?
See, Mary Peggy was in the last class there. I don't know. No, I couldn't tell you the year. So, but anyway.
So they closed, at some point they closed all the one-room schools in Amador County then?
Well, yeah. After they, unified. So, and it became a unified district, you know, instead of having all these little districts.
The Jackson High School, and then there was a high school in Ione,
mm-hmm.
and a high school in Sutter Creek.
Yeah.
They closed the one in Ione.
Yeah, and those kids came to Jackson.
Right. There was a controversy over doing that.
I don't remember.
That didn't affect anybody here. Your family.
Oh no, because we didn't. They're going to Jackson anyway. I don't. There could have been a controversy. They could have had a school board meetings about it and everything. But I don't know anything. I mean, I didn't get involved. My kids were going to go to Jackson. Period. So. And I mean, they didn't. Weren't going to. There are more kids in Jackson. I'm sure they weren't going to ship them down to Ione.
Well, they bust them down there right now for junior high.
Yeah.
But they, there seems to be a big rivalry between Jackson and Sutter Creek.
Oh, of course,
over
it's always
the
been. Oh yeah, yeah. Especially at the football game, I can remember. When my husband was, I guess he must have been a senior, I don't know, he made the only touchdown and Jackson won.
Now, your husband's first name was?
Norman.
Norman, okay.
Yeah. And it was the Jackson-Sutter Creek game, and he made the only touchdown and Jackson won.
In the big game.
In the big game.
Now that was at a different football field than they have at Jackson High School.
Oh, we didn't have
it. High School now.
Well, it didn't have
Jackson
a
high school.
I'm trying to think where in the heck the Ziley Field. Where in the heck was Ziley Field? Gee, many Christmas, I'm losing it. Well, doesn't make much difference if I can't remember. I can't.
Wasn't out.
Oh, wait
Creek,
a minute. No, I'll tell you where the football games are played. You know, if you came out of Jackson, then here's Clinton Road. Well, now you go up here and go up on the highway and cut on Chris Clinton Road. If you came up Broadway, and here's Clinton Road, what's there now? It was a big field.
Okay.
That'd be at the corner of Clinton Road and Broadway, right here. There was a big field there, and that's where they had their football games.
That'd be where the CHP is? Or on a different corner?
It's the corner that's going out Clinton Road.
Big apartment complex, housing complex on one part.
Well, you're going up Broadway, and here's Clinton Road.
Right.
All right, so there. This corner here was a football field. But I guess it's where those apartments are
right now.
Now
it's called Ziley Field.
I guess so.
Did it have any grass on it?
I guess. I don't know. That's because the society mind was there.
Okay.
That
okay.
mind that's all there. Right. Right. Is the society mind.
So it just had mind tailings on it.
Yeah, well, I don't ever remember that I don't ever remember. That doesn't mean it wasn't running. I don't ever remember anybody going to work there. But like I said, that doesn't mean it wasn't. I don't know. When I was a kid, I would pay attention to anything like that.
So Jackson High School was where the school district offices are now.
Yeah.
But the football field was over on Broadway and Clinton.
Yeah, well, they didn't have the football field for the high school that's up there now, or the junior high, I guess, now. That was built by the WPA. Works Project Administration.
Right,
okay.
Right.
And they did not have cats or anything else. They dug that out and took the dirt in buckets.
The wheelbarrow and shovel job.
Yeah, or that. Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, yeah, that was the guys built that.
So your husband was a hero of the day.
That day.
That day.
Well, anyway, it was funny. He didn't ever talk about it or anything. He acted like it was he was somebody pushed him or something.
Well, it was a team effort.
Well,
the big game is always a big day then and now.
Oh yeah. Of course, I don't know. I don't get excited about it anymore. But anyway, the kids all do. Sutter Creek and Jackson.
What do you notice most about a change in downtown Jackson? When you were working down there and then to today, besides there's only one bar or two bars left.
Well, I never paid any attention to the bars anyway.
Right. But that's where everybody shopped, right?
We did. They had Spinetti's. Well, of course, Spinetti's was there quite a while after that. And there were Casanelli's was a grocery store, and the Mother Lode Market, and they had a Purity store. And, you got all your groceries down there. There wasn't any place else. There was nothing on the outskirts like they have down here off of the highway. No, everything was down there.
Do you remember when the new highway was put in, 4988?
Do I remember it? I was married then, and my mother-in-law's house, what is now, here's where Main Street, here's the end of Main Street, and here's Sutter Street. Here's the Shell service station, and there's two houses up here.
Right.
The first house closest
between the Shell station and the bank.
And the bank, and the,
right.
and the post office or whatever. The house, that's the first house that you see, was built by Norman's father before his mother and father got married. And it was before they redid the road. The yard of that was up in the middle of where the road is now. So everybody's property was moved back. Everybody that had a house there had to have, if they wanted to keep it there, it had to be moved back. So Norman's mother's house, which I own, which is next to the Shell service station, it was, the yard of that was up in the middle of the present highway. And then
they lost their yard. Did they actually physically have to move the house?
Yeah.
Okay.
The house is now down on the creek. They had a nice big, they had a small yard in the front, but there was a big yard in the back and a garage and a lot of space back there. So, I mean, my mother-in-law, instead of having moving the house any place else, she would just move it back on her lot. And then there's this small front front yard. And then the house that's next door, there's only two houses there. And that used to be up here. And it was moved down to there. And so there's a lot in between. There's used to have garages down here and everything. Anyway, there's a lot in place to for parking and that. And as a result of, there's the only two houses there, and the only access was belonged to this house. So we bought that when the lady was in the hospital and after she passed away. And I'm not sure when it was, but it was after Lizzie was no longer there. So
they came. When they built the highway, then they how did you get to that house before the highway was built?
Well, it was setting up. Well, there was a right alongside of the house. There was a driveway. Instead of it now, it's up here and comes down. It was right smack dab. You went right past the house and went back here, and there was a yard and garages and everything. So.
Now, there was a highway that went, there, all, you know, to the top of the hill. 49 and 88 was just widened at that time, right?
We drove up on the, from up here down there every day with when we had the milk route and all. Yeah. And you were in town, you lived in town, and you know knew the sound of somebody's vehicle. There weren't that many cars on. They could tell you, like we had a truck that made a different noise, and they could tell you we were coming.
They knew you were coming.
Many people that were just, you know, we didn't have that much traffic.
Do you remember if there was any controversy when Highway 88 was made into a main highway to go over the mountains?
No, I don't know. No. And I was too young to anybody worry about that. I don't know how they got over to Nevada before that. How did they do? Did you have to go around or what? Or do you know?
Well, they had a roadway, but it wasn't a highway.
It wasn't open in the wintertime.
And it wasn't open in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And cattle.
And free access.
Moving cattle from down in Iowa and up to up in the mountains, they had first priority, I guess.
Well, I can remember when anybody was moving cattle had the priority. You had to go behind them, or you had to sneak around them, or what have you. No, hey, people have to make a living.
Sure. What there were always some big events that took place in Jackson over the years. On an annual basis, you know, the Kit Carson days.
They petered out, and they started. They were going on when we came here. I mean, they didn't have Kit Carson days that I can remember when I was a kid. It started later, but maybe since I can't remember, it doesn't mean it wasn't happening. But anyway.
So those came. Those were almost finished, or were finished before you came here.
I could not tell you.
That big parade and event wasn't something that you looked forward to.
I could have, but you know, look how many years it's been.
Yeah, I understand.
No. My memory is not, you know.
Well, your memory is a lot better than mine. Trust me.
But anyway, well, you thought about that, but I don't. Could be the best thing since sliced bread, but I can't remember.
What kind of conversations do you recall your family having, or you having, or with respect to all the gambling that took place in Jackson?
Didn't bother us. If my father gambled, it might have. No, it was a way of life. It was against the law. So some parts of it. It seems to me that I recall hearing that wasn't something wasn't legal. Of course, I'm not even talking about the houses, but there something wasn't legal about the gambling, and I don't know what it was or wasn't. But the legislatures came up here and spent all night gambling down at the Louvre, and everybody knew it.
Yeah, it definitely was a way of life here in Jackson. And
I don't know how many local people. I never heard of anybody local that lost their shirt and couldn't make their payments or had to go into bankruptcy because of it.
It attracted a lot of out-of-towners. Is that what you're saying?
That would be my impression. And let's face it, I didn't go, even when I was older, I didn't go downtown and watch who's gambling or anything. I could, everybody's own business, not mine. If the law that was in charge here at the time didn't do anything about it, what's the big deal then? Obviously, it was helping somebody out.
Yeah. Now you were in the draft board then when John Begovich got drafted.
No, that would be before.
That would have been before you.
So I got out of high school in 1941, and see, they were already drafting then. So, I know that because Norman, my husband, went in a long time before too, before I went to work there. He didn't get drafted. No, he joined the National Guard, which was part of the army.
Right. And I don't know. I should have said I don't know whether Mr. Begovich was drafted or whether he volunteered.
I have no idea.
A lot of people were volunteering, of course.
Yeah, I don't know.
I had a question and I forgot it myself.
You had a senior moment.
I did. Are there any other, anything else that you think you'd like to share with me this morning? That we haven't talked about? Stories about your famous trips to San Francisco or?
We didn't make any trips to San Francisco.
I just made that up. I don't know.
What do you have to go to San Francisco for?
Well, that brings up another question. I mean, just speaking for your own self and your own family, did you travel outside of Amador County much at all?
We go to Sacramento. Just like now, we can't buy. Well, now you can buy almost anything you need up here, but it used to be you had to go to Sacramento and Stockton to get a lot of things. So we'd have to go down there and shop once in a while. But, you know, people still do that. But, it all depends what your needs are and how much money you have. And if it's something that you want and have to have but don't need, then whatever.
Right. So there was a long, it was a full day trip, though, pretty much to go to Sacramento and shop.
It still is. Because by the time you get there, find a place to park, go and do your shopping. Do this and that. By the time you come home, it's time for supper. So let's face it. Even if you came, we went down there right after breakfast.
Right.
Now they go down. Now there are quite a few people that go down, get a catch a bus and go to Sacramento to work all day and come back on a bus.
Right. Yeah, and that's a nice feature, the bus feature, and more and more people taking advantage of it.
Yeah. It costs money, but it costs more money to drive your car down there and park it. You have to pay to park. So,
were there any churches out here that in this particular area that no longer are here?
There used to be a church, and it, as far as I know, it's never been. It was never being used since I've been here. It was up at Clinton someplace. And I think that church was moved to...
That's the one the city moved over to the Kennedy Mine property.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. That was up at Clinton someplace. Now, I really don't know where Clinton is, or where it was. But anyway, I think it's probably up by the up where you hit the end of the Clinton Road, and here's the other roads going this way and that way. You have to hit Highway 88.
Right.
But...
Well, I've taken up a little bit of your morning. I appreciate it.
So what are you going to do with this?
I'm going to stop it right at the moment.